scenario. Here's the scenario of the Gemara on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Tznon shechatacho b'sakin shel basar. So if you're looking on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, we're looking approximately in the middle of the Amud, and you'll see the words Yosef Rav Kahana.
Yeah.
Do you have such a thing? It's I don't know exactly how to point it out to you. Maybe it's 15 lines down from the top of the page.
There's a little gimel parentheses next to it.
Okay, great. I don't have that gimel on my page, but if you have the gimel, look for the gimel. Okay? So what does Rav Kahana say? He's got two cases. We'll call it a Reisha and a Seifa. The Reisha is Ka'ara Shemalach Ba'Basar. So he designates this utensil for salting meat. So there's a lot of dam that falls into this utensil. And the Ka'ara is bolea dam. Mm-hmm. Now he wants to put hot food on this Ka'ara. Also Lechel Ba'Roseach. Why? Because since there's a blia of dam in the Ka'ara, therefore that blia of dam is going to be niflat when he puts hot food on top of this Ka'ara. What would be if he puts cold food? If everything is cold, that would seem to be mutter, and then we have to talk about something called hadocha, but that's not for us now. Then Rav Kahana goes on to say something else, and we'll soon see how this fits with Shmuel. He says, tznon, he took a radish, and he sliced the radish with a fleshika knife. And in this case, he says, mutar li ochlo bikutach. He's allowed to take this radish and eat it with milchiks. Kutach is some sort of a concoction that has milk in it.
The sakin means that it had basar?
Yes, sakin shel basar. So you've used the sakin on many occasions, I'm just dramatizing, to cut meat, hot meat. So it has a blia of basar in it.
Even though now it's clean.
And now it's clean. Excellent. That's a very important point here. And I wouldn't say, I don't know, I'm not sure what you meant, Yuchi, when you said even, but I say dafka because it's clean. Says Rav Kahana, he's allowed to take this radish that was cut by a fleshka knife and eat it with milchiks. My time is, the Gemara says, why? I mean, after all, this tznon was bolea atam of basar, and now you're eating it with milchiks? Am Rabaye, hai hetera bola, v'hai isura bola. In the first case of Rav Kahana, that of the Kara was bolea atam of isur. Atam of isur, once it's absorbed into the walls of the pot, will generate isur in anything that's cooked in that same pot. Masha Enkin, in the case of basar, what you have is the basar itself is heter, and the knife was bolea atam of heter. And now, this tam of heter, when you cut the tznon, is imparted into the tznon, but it's still a tam of heter. So what I'm going to try to explain, and you have this photocopy here from the Moreshes Moshe, is what is the logic of Abaye? Now, in order to sharpen my question, what's the logic of Abaye, I'll read one more line in the Gemara, and that's Rava. Amalei Rava. Rava turns to Abaye and says, what are you talking about? Kibola hetera mayhavi. What difference it make if the status of basar is that of heter? Sof sof, hetera di asili de isurahu. You want to take this tam of basar that now is transferred from the sakin into the radish, into the tznon, and now you want to put it together with milchiks, isura ka'achal. He's eating a combination of tam basar with tam chol. So what was the underlying logic of Abaye? Because at this point the Gemara drops the ball on Abaye, goes on to offer another explanation for Rav Kahana. So I have here, and you'll see it also here, Mirtz Hashem, a mahalach here of the Rashba. The Rashba says the following. What was Abaye's thought process? And the Rashboi here formulates a principle called Tam Kolosh. And basically, again, I'll try to flesh this out, but if you have Tam Kolosh together with Hetera Bola, it could never generate Isur. What's a Tam Kolosh? He says the following. If this tznon would have been cooked together with meat, then there's no question you cannot eat that tznon with kutach. However, there's an intermediary stage over here. The meat was not used together with the tznon, but rather the meat was used with the knife. The knife becomes the conduit to bring the tam of the basar into the tznon. If it's coming not directly into the tznon from the basar, but rather through what? Knife. Through the knife. That's called a tam kolosh. Very interesting. We're like weighing tam on a scale. You know, we're saying that there's 100% tam and then there's a 50% tam. And a tam kolosh falls under one of two categories. Either it's isura bola or it's hetera bola, which means the following. So if I have a pot or a dish that was bolea a tam of isur, then even though when I use that same dish now in a second cooking, the tam of isur is a tam kolosh of isur will generate an isur. In other words, the Torah recognizes both a tam gomur and a tam kolosh. But the exception to the rule, says Abaye in explaining Rav Kahana, is heterabola. If the tam kolosh that's being transferred from the kli over to the foodstuff is a hetera tam, then a hetera tam, which is also a tam kolosh, could not effectuate a blia, meaning a blia asura. So that the meat gives tam into the knife, the knife gives tam into the stone. What's the status of that tam in Hilchas Isur v'Heter? It's heter. I mean, he wants to eat the radish. Let him eat the radish. It's a fleshika radish. But fine, nobody has any problem with that. Says the Rashbam, explaining Abaye, that if you have two elements, it's tam dehetera and it's tam kolosh, it's a secondary tam, that tam together with hetera bola could never generate an isur. Now, for those who were with me yesterday, we had a similar concept. I'm not trying to compare them. In the case of kodshim, what happens is that you use a kli to cook kodshim. Mm-hmm. Now you want to use the same kli to cook chulin. And the Gemara says, based on a pasuk in Parshas Tzav, Umarak v'shuta v'mayim, that all you need is to be machshir the kli. And you can remove the tam balua of the kodshim from the kli. So the Rambam says that only makes sense if it's within the time allotment for the eating of that kodshim. Let's say if it's chatos for till nightfall, if it's shlomim for another day, whatever it might be. And the Rambam says ekev achila, it's not going to generate ekev achila, meaning within that time period, it's not going to generate an isur in the chulin. So Reb Chaim tried to understand what is the Rambam telling me over here. I'm skipping over to the Rambam here. But I didn't even mention the Rambam, did I? Sorry, I apologize for that. The Rambam codifies this in Hilchas Maisa Korbanos, and he says that you can take the kli that was used to cook kodshim, and within the time limit of achila, you can take that kli and subject it to hagala, and then you can use the kli for kodshim. Says Reb Chaim, what's going on over here? Even if it's within the time limit, it's still a blia of kodshim, and a blia of kodshim when it enters into the pot. Now, through that pot, if you cook chulin, it's going to be awesome. You didn't kodshim. Not only that, Reb Chaim asked another question. If we, you know, assuming that he won't be able to cook in the pot until a half a day later, it's already nosar. Says Reb Chaim that the only way of understanding this Rambam is through the principle of the mechanics of hetera bola. The reason why the Rambam limits this kula to the case of ekev achilim, which means within the time limit, is because it hasn't become nosar. The Raman thinks that the whole process of Heksher, Kalim, and Kodshim should be Dafka after it became Nosar. You take the Isur and you Mavliya it and Maflit it through Kabbalah, Kapolta, through Agola. The Raman paradoxically says that the Agola process is going to take place before it becomes Nosar. Says Reb Chaim, that's the only way that the Rambam could justify why the time of Basa, of Basa Kodshim in this case, when it enters into the chulin that's being cooked in that, you know, subsequently in that same pot, is mutter. And he says the answer is because since he subjects the kli to Hagola, while it was still heter, that Hagola achieves the goal of reducing the tam from a tam gomur to a tam kolsh. And since within the time period of heter, it now is a combination of hetera bala plus a tam kolsh. And therefore when he cooks in this pot, chulin, in effect the tam of kodshim enters into the chulin, but it's only a tam kolsh, because the tam went into the original kli that he cooked the kodshim in. Now it gets transferred from the pot into the food stuff in the second cooking. That's called the tam kolsh. It's a secondary tam. But not only that, the Rambam has stipulated that we're talking about Ekev Achila within the time limit. It's now Hetera Bala. When you combine Hetera Bala together with the Tam Kolish, it doesn't generate an Easter. And if I can use this Kli after Agola for Achulin. And in effect, what we're seeing here in the Rashba in explaining Abaye is, I think, again, please critique me if I'm wrong, but I think it's parallel to what we saw in Reb Chaim and the Rambam. Namely, that if you have a combination of A plus B, you have a Tam Kolosh together with Hetera Bola, it doesn't generate an Iser. Now, in the case of a Sakin, it has a Blia of Tam Basar, and when I cut the radish receives the Tam of Basar, but only as a Tam Kolosh. Why? Because the Tam went from the Basar into the Sakin, and then from the Sakin into the Tznon. And now we have to add another element to the equation. What's the status of a Tam Basar in Tznon? Hetera Bola. So that combination will lead us to the following conclusion, the formulation of the principle that it could never generate an Isur. Hence, Rav Kahana said that you can take this Tznon and eat it with Milchix. But now Rava turns around and he says, Ki Bola, even if the Tam Basar, which was now Nivla into the Tznon, is Hetera, my Havi. How's it going to allow you to take that Tam Hetera and mix it up with Kutach? So now the Rashba is in trouble. Why? Because Rava seems to...
Why not?
Because Lachorich...
All you have is a Tam together with...
Wait one second, Rabbi. You said why not. I'm not sure which direction you're going. Just to make sure I understand what you're saying. Why not means that it should be mutter or it should be asa?
It should be mutter.
Oh, excellent. It should be mutter. So the Rashba is now in deep trouble. Why? Because the Rashba has established the principle that if you have a combo of Tam Kolush plus Hetera Bola, it doesn't generate Easter. So what's Rabbi yelling about over here? So the Rashba comes up with a whole new principle called a Dover Charif. And he says that Enochinami, if he were to take a knife and cut a cucumber, I'm not sure if that's what he has in mind. You know, he talks about lefes, so I don't know, lefes is I think a turnip, but whatever it is, he cuts a vegetable that's not a Dover Charif with a fleshiga knife. Rava would have no problem if he wants to eat the cucumber with milchix. Why? Because it's a combination of a tam kolosh together with what? Hetera bola. Rava's problem here.
Why is it cucumber bola?
What do you say?
Why is it cucumber bola if it's not charif? I thought it's only something that's charif.
Well, let's say it's a hot cucumber. Whatever it is.
It's a cold snone or a cold cucumber. Yeah. Why buy it snone?
Snone is Dover Charif.
Because it's a Dover Charif. Right. Cucumber is.
Which means it's not bole at all.
We're not saying it's not bole at all. What the Rashba is saying, is the following. That you can have a Tam Kolosh, and the question is, what's the status of a Tam Kolosh? And here we're going to say a Tera Bola means that the Torah doesn't generate an Isur or recognize a validated Isur in the case of a Tam Kolosh if it's a Tera Bola. But here, we don't have a Tam Kolosh. Says the Rashi, why is this not a Tam Kolosh? I mean, the Tam of the Basar went into the Sakin, and from the Sakin it went into the Tznon. That should be a Tam Kolosh, no? He says, name. There's a principle here called the Dovah Charif. A Dovah Charif has a superpower, so to speak, to be maflit and be bolea, a tam, that even though by universal standards it would be classified as a tam kolosh, as a tam gomur. It's not a tam kolosh. The Charifus somehow upgrades the status of that tam to a tam gomur, and now even though it's a teira bola, but it's a teira bola of a full fledged tam. Now the Rashba points out that Rashi complicates matters, because Rashi says it's not just that it's known as a dovah charif, but it's also duchka de sakina, and Rashi therefore adds a whole new variable into the equation. So the Rashba attacks Rashi because he says, well, if it's Duchah de Sakina, then why does the Gemara focus and Rava on a Tznon? Forget about a Tznon. Even if it was a cucumber, there's a Dover Dochak, a Sakin with Duchah de Sakina. The Duchah de Sakina makes it possible for the Sakin to transfer its Tam of Basar as a Tam Gomor into the cucumber. And the Rashba here creates a whole new structure. He wants to say that you need both a Dovah Charif and Duchka de Sakina. So it means, according to the Rashba's final conclusion, if I were to take a Fleshika spoon and somehow use that spoon, let's say I use the, I don't know, I'm just giving an example, the handle of the spoon to cut its known, even though the tzon is a Dovah Charif, it would still remain within the context of a combination of A plus B, meaning it's a Tam Kolosh with Heter Bala. And therefore I could take this tzon and I could eat it with Milchix. The only problem is that he cut the tzon with a Sakin. And now he adds another element to the equation, namely Dukkah de Sakina. So you have now this explosive, you know, very volatile combination of what? Of a Dovah Charif together with Dukkah de Sakina. In such a case, says the Rashba, we're going to convert or upgrade the Tam Kolosh to a Tam Gomor. If we have A plus B. So it comes out, according to the Rashi, there are two scenarios in which I can eat something that was cut, I'm going to use that word in a general sense, I'll try to specify what I mean by that, cut with something fleshix, and I can eat it with milchix. Case number one would be where I'm lacking charifus, which would be, let's say, a cucumber. And even if I would cut a cucumber with a fleshix knife and I have dufka de sakina, that's not enough to upgrade the tam to a tam gomur. Right. And case number two would be where I take a dovah charif, and instead of cutting it with a knife, I cut it with something that's not duchka de sakina, and therefore I don't have the second element that's absolutely necessary. I only have one element, and therefore I can eat this snon with milchix. So
no matter
I can,
how you cut it, it's duchka.
Very good. I like that.
You said the word.
Yeah, I like
you said the word cut.
But what I need to say is the following. According to the Rashba Shita, this Gemara that we're learning is not what we call an absolute Gemara. You know, we think that any situation in which, you know, you went ahead and you cut a radish, you're not allowed to eat that radish with milchix. That's not necessarily so. We've got to get to that level called Dukkah de Sakina. Number two, it could be possible that in the case where there's no Dovah Charif, even if you were to have a Dukkah de Sakina, we're missing that element of Dukkah de Sakina. So unless we have that combo of A plus B of Dukkah de Sakina together with a Dovah Charif, the Tam remains a Tam Kolosh, and even Rava accepts and embraces the principle that a Tam Kolosh in a case of a Terah Bala does not generate Isur. That's what I understood from the Rashba.
It's only a Dovah Charif that makes the Dukkah Kasina into something important. Without that, you don't
okay, have according to the Rashba, it's true. You need both.
Well, yeah.
Now the Rashba comes up with another principle. Okay, maybe you'll help me out with this Rashba. The Gemara here, if you turn to Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph for a moment, and again, we're skipping a lot of Gemaras here, but just to get some of the basic outline of the Sugya, the Gemara says that There's something called kilche. I'm sorry. There's something called silka. Now, silka, we identify usually as beets. Rashi identifies that as taradin or tarad, which I think is spinach leaves. Now, he cuts spinach leaves with a fleshika knife. Where do we classify spinach? We know that there's something called a davar charef, which is called snon. Tosvis adds another few cases of a davar charef. He says that shum, garlic, is a davar charef. He says that bitzalim, onions, are considered a davar charef. He speaks about something called karti. I forget, what is karti? Leeks or something like that? I don't know, whatever it is.
That's an onion.
Oh, it's a kind of an onion. Okay, I only know from Rosh Hashanah, right? Where does tered fit in? You know, our good old buddy Popeye the Sailor Man, right? He used to eat spinach.
Tered is not charif.
Oh, so you and I would say that tered is not charif. And yet, and the Rashba is going to have to deal with this, the Gemara says that if you cut tered leaves with a fleshika knife, asire. Now again, what does the word asire mean? That's going to be an issue. But let's assume, just level by level, that asire means you're not allowed to eat it with kutach, which means the Gemara is presuming an equation between silka, which is tered, and snod. Now, if you're going to argue that there's something called duchka de sakina, and that enough creates a tam gomur nicha, then I can understand that tardin is asur. But then what you're telling me is that forget about snon. The Gemara is now basically dropping the ball on snon. And even if you had something that was sweet and not sharp, it would still have a problem of a tam gomur because of duchka de sakina. And the Rashba holds that that's an untenable position. So how could it be that taradin is asur, and you're not allowed to eat the taradin after you cut it with a fleshika knife in with kutach? Comes along the Rashba, and he says the following, that there is this middle category which is represented by taradin. Taradin is the prototype, which, although it's not a dover charif, nevertheless, it's goreim pleitas tam gomer shel basur. Why? And all he can tell me is that it's a dover hamoshech tam. Now, I was racking my brains to try to figure out, give me some sort of a description. You know, like, call a baby by its name. What is it? A davar hamoshech tam? I mean, he admits it's not a davar charif because he's not willing to say it's a davar charif. The Mordechai tries to say that there's some charifus in the teret. We'll get back to the Mordechai later on, but the Rashba is not willing to accept that. So why does Gemara say asiri? So some Rishonim want to say that asiri doesn't mean that you can't eat it with milchiks. But the word asiri means that, again, this is pretty far out, I don't want you to attack me for this, I'm not responsible for this, but they want to insist that the word asiri means that if he didn't clean off the sakin properly, then it's
awesome.
Excellent. The shabnut shel basar, that's a krisha al gabi asakin.
That's an unfair thing to put in this.
Yeah, yeah, okay, look, don't attack me, I'm just saying that you see where the problem with taradin is a serious problem. You know, we have to find some sort of solution. So the Mordechai solution, which was totally unacceptable in the Rashba's frame of reference, was that taradin has some charifas to it. Okay, Google it and see what you find out. Okay. The Rashba, on the other hand, assuming that it's not a davar charif, he has to figure out what asiri means. Why can't you eat it with kutach? And he says that there's something called a davar hamoshech tam. So Rabosa, we now have three categories of vegetables according to the Rashba. We have one category which is called what? A davar charif. And in the case of a davar charif, clearly I cannot use that davar charif after it was cut with a fleshika knife in milchiks. Then on the other extreme, lakula, I have a category which is called a davar masok. It's totally sweet, and it's a cucumber, and the tam is a tam kolish, says the Rashba, and you can take this cucumber after you cut it with a sakin shel basar and put it into your kutach till zayin gezunt and fine. And in the middle, the Rashi has this new category. It's a davar sheino charev, but it's moshech tam, and that's called teret. I wish I knew what this is all about. You know, like in Hilchas Blia, we have now a new breakthrough. It's called the Davar HaMoshech Tam. It somehow pulls out the tam of the basar from the sakin in such a way that now I can't eat this vegetable, this teret.
Is it
going to
be a list
with,
of what else belongs in that? Or is it just
so what else belongs to this category?
What's the difference?
So this is very interesting. I can't answer your question, Alan, head on, but I can dray with my finger. What do I mean by dray with my finger? The Gemara, in the next line, if again it's good to see it inside, the Gemara says, V'pasach behu delilfa, delifta, excuse me, shapir tofit. The Gemara says that if he took this fleshika knife, and he's got two vegetables in front of him, he's got the classic sweet vegetable, which is used in the Gemara as lefes, and he has in front of him teret, you know, these spinach leaves. What did he do? He took the fleshika knife, and first he cut lefes, and afterwards he cut teret. Shapir dami. The Rashba says that now he can take this teret, and he can eat it in kutach. It's as if he took this sakin to the mikvah, so to speak. I don't mean that literally. But what I mean to say is that he somehow purified the sakin of its tam basar. Why? Because he used it to cut lefes. So the Rashba asked, wait a minute, if there's such an eitzah, let's go back to Atznah. Why did the Gemara establish, according to Rava, that if you cut snon with a fleshika knife, and now you want to use the snon in kutach, forget it. You can't do so.
Yeah,
I have an answer for you. Why not just get yourself a turnip and cut a turnip with that knife and then cut the tznon? Says the Rashba, tznon is a davar charev. And tered is a davar ha-moshech tam, even though it's not a davar charev. And the nafkamina is going to be whether you can utilize this method, this magical trick of first using the sakin to cut lefes. Mm-hmm. So other Rishonim say, you know what the Gemara is talking about here? The Gemara is just looking for a method of cleaning off the Shamnunis, that really Tered is not a problem. Tered is not a Dover Charif, and it doesn't register on the Richter scale. The only problem is he cut the Tered, and he didn't do a good job of cleaning off the Shamnunis. Now again, Rabosai, you have to add a footnote here. I'm not sure if what I just told you is correct. I don't know if it has to do with how much water, you know, how much he hosed down the sakin or so forth. It could be that this concept of Shamnunis, that's Krisha al-Gabi sakin, it might be something that's not, it's not visible to the naked eye. I don't know. But be that as it may, there's a problem, according to these Rishonim, when he cuts a teret, even though it's a davar masok, because they don't have the Rashba's business of Moshe Chatam, in the fact that the sakin has Shamnunis Shel Basar on it. How do you remove the Shamnunis Shel Basar? I don't know. But what I do know is, according to these Rishonim, and the Mordechai is at the head of the gang, is that when you cut lifta, that cutting of lifta somehow removes the Shamnunis from the face of the knife. Now, if that be the case, then maybe the Mordechai would say that you're not allowed to eat the lefes, because now the lefes has the shamnunis on the face. So that's called so that's called greira. Now, what does greira mean? Greira means scraping. So this is a whole nother sugya here, that we're going to have to take this lefes after we cut it with a fleshika knife, and we're going to have to do something called greira. Greira is not agola. But greira is something that, according to the Rishonim, counters the shamnunis on the top of, on the outside of the knife.
So
fine.
Wait,
let me just get, I just don't want, Yechiel, I know you're going to slug me up, but I just want to get the mathematics here. So what happens? Says the Rashba, because that's the shita that I want to figure out. The Rashba claims that I can take, just one second, I can take tered, and I can cut it with a fleshika knife, under the following conditions, and I can eat that tered with kutach. The Gemara says if I cut tear it with a fleshing knife. I cannot eat it with kuta, says the Rash. But the answer is that on the one condition they will allow you to eat the tered with kuta, in the if he sequentially he cut with this fleshing knife lefet, and after he cuts lefet, then he cuts tered. Says the Rashba, could that option work even in the case of Tznon? He says, nay. Because in the case of Tznon, what converts or upgrades the Tam from a Tam Kolish to a Tam Gomur? It's the Harifus. That's the real McCoy. In the case of Tered, it's not a Dover Charif. He wasn't on board with the Mardechai or any of the other Rishonim that Tered is a Dover Charif. And therefore, my only problem is that Tered has this propensity, don't ask me to explain it because I can't, that it's Moshech Tam. Moshech Tam, says the Rashba, is a lower level than Dover Charif. We have three levels, as we said before. We have level on one extreme of a Dover Charif, and then your Tam is a Tam Gomur. We have another level of a Dover Masog, which has no Charifus, and it's not Moshech Tam, and take it, cut it with a knife. Maybe you'll need Greira because of Shamnunish al Basar, but cook it together with Milchitz, eat it with Kuta. In the middle, you have something called Tered. Tered becomes like a catchphrase. I mean, Alan wants to know what else is included on that category. I can't answer that question, but it fits into a middle category. It's neither Charif, which means the Tam is not a complete Tam Gamur. It's neither a Dover Masuk, which means that the Tam is a Tam Kolush. It comes in this middle category of a Dover Moshech Tam. Says the Rashba, in such a case, we're not going to use this teret after you cut it with a fleshing knife with kutach, but we have an eitzah for you. And what's the eitzah for you? Cut lefes, which is a davar basok, and somehow the teret subsequently loses its status as a davar moshech tam. Again, I can just tell you the mechanics here. I can't tell you more than that. But according to the Rashba, if we were dealing with the Dover Charif, you cannot convert this Tam into a Tam Kolush simply because you cut a Lefes, with all due respect. But if you're talking about something that's not a Dover Charif, so the Tam is not really a full-fledged Tam Gomur, it still really is a Tam Kolush, but just it's Moshech the Tam, so then if I somehow cut this, this knife to cut what? To cut lefes, then that somehow neutralizes the power of Tered as a Dovra Moshech Tam. And then I can eat this wonderful spinach leaf together with my milchiks. That's what we have so far. Good, you feel. I'm sorry, I just wanted to work out the mathematics.
You can't shlug up something that's not based on the sfar. So you can explain what it is, how can I shlug up? But we're not trying to understand the Mordechai. We're leaving that aside.
Oh no! I just want to get to the Mordechai. But I just, you know, the Rashba was just fascinating my mind because he has this complex structure in which he, number one, combines two elements that's Dover Charif with a Ducha de Sakina, meaning that according to the Rashba, the sugya from A to Z is only describing a Sakin. Forget about anything that's not Ducha de Sakina. So it could be that you can, you know, break something in half with a kli, but it's not duchka de sakina, and then we have no problem. Why? Because a davar charif, says the Rashba, is only capable of upgrading the tam from kolish to tam gomur if you have the combination of charifus with what? Duchka de sakina. That alone was an eye-opener to me. And that's the Rashba's sheet, and that's how he justifies Rashi, that Rashi seems to be Posech al Shtei Asifim, he's operating with two different variables, and the Rashba thinks that you need these two variables in order to get yourself into a Tam Gomur. The Rashba therefore derives halachic conclusions that it could be that number one, if you take another vegetable, and even if you cut it with a fleshing knife, it's got Duchat the Sakina, but it's lacking what? Davar Charif, and the Tam remains a Tam Kolish, and it's Mutter. Alternatively, it could be I can even take a tznon and I can use something that's fleshiks to break apart the tznon, and we have to again go through all the details and figure out in Shulchan Aruch how this works. And I can then take the tznon and cook it with milchiks. Why? Because I'm lacking the principle of what? Ducha de sakina. That's Hakofa Aleph.
Just So just to the rational one point. The lifta is not doing anything to change the power of the terid.
Right. You and I would say that the lifta can only impact on the knife. That's going to be the Mordechai's position. That if the issue of terid from the get go was an issue of shamnunis shall kri shall gavi asakin shamnunis shall basar, then I can begin to understand how the mikveh here is the lefes, because the lefes maybe could take away this shamnunis shall basar. Again, what are you going to do with the lefes itself? That's going to be issue number two, and does it require grera? And then we're going to get into the whole question: can you do grera on a vegetable? I don't know. Maybe if it's chai, meaning if it's raw, maybe you can do grera. If it's already cooked, you can't do grera. I mean, that's a whole other parasha. But as far as the sakin is concerned, if your focus is on the sakin, because the sakin has the shamnunis shel basar, and even a davar masok like lefes, the way the Mordechai understands it, is now going to be subject to a kind of blia. Again, not. Let me try to explain this. This is not blia classical case, because we're not talking about the meat that's inside. Correct. We're talking about something that's be'en. So that's where the lefes can stand up to the plate and help me. That's according to whom? The Mordechai. But 1 second. But when we get to the Rashba is talking about Hilchas Bliya. And this is very fascinating that lefes should have any role here in Hilchas Bliya. Because if the Rashba is claiming that the lefes, because of its unique... the unique chemical makeup or whatever word you want to use is Moshe Chesatam, what difference does it make if I use the knife to cut lefes? I mean, that could be meaningful for the knife, but it doesn't have any meaning for the terid itself.
So that we don't understand how that works.
I mean, I'm saying again, we're going through the Rashba piece by piece.
Would the Rashba say that if I had 100 pieces of terid, 1,000 pieces of terid, I used the same knife to cut each one of them, then it's koach to be moshech from this knife goes on into an item? And
I think so. Well, let's say at one point you cut a lefis with it.
But the reason I was just saying is, you know, there's only so much in that knife. It eventually, I've worn out the koach of the knife. And so maybe the
but let me ask you a different question. If we're dealing with funny jokes here, let me ask you the following question. Supposing I have a kedera that I use to cook trefus in, right? Can I cook 50 million times of heter until finally I get to the point where I say there's no iser that's being pulled into the heter? Meaning, you and I might have said, you know, intuitively it could work, but what I'm just saying the following: once you have a full fledged blia of tam, and if that tam is problematic, again here we're in a very complicated situation, because the tam is a tam of hetera bola, but even a classical tam gomur of isura bola, there's no reversal. You know, there's something called Hagola, and we're going to have to spend a lot of time in figuring out how Hagola works to get rid of that time. Thank you, Yosef, you're inside of Gomor. Because I feel like I'm losing it again. Then there's something called Hagola, but anything less than Hagola, so that...
That sounds like my time by Heterabola.
Yeah, right? The whole premise is based on...
If you have Heterabola, there's a possibility of saying that the lefet, it's a tam kolish in the sakin,
right,
that you're cutting the lefet with. Maybe the lefet makes it the tam kolish
sheni,
which by then, whether you cut the terid, you can't say that the chefza of the terid changes. It's the sakin that has to change.
Right.
So the sakin changes when you cut the lefet, because you've taken a tam kolush, you made a tam kolush sheni, and by that time it makes no difference, but the lefet doesn't impact on that.
Well, then I would say that the advice should have been, don't use a lefet, use another piece of terry, because it's a moshech. Lefet's not a moshech, so you have better chance of pulling out the kolush from the knife by having one piece of terry first, throw that away, and the next piece of terry is going to be fine, because the first one was moshech all the time. Better than the lefet could do.
Ooh. Very sharp. For this we need Yechiel Prince. I mean, you know, this is the...
That's a good point.
So let me read to you a little bit about the Rashba. The Rashba says the following: we have something in the Gemara which is called Kishos, or Kishus, depending on how you pronounce it. Kishus is a Yerek, let's say, my English here, give me a second, what's it called? Not a cucumber, it's called a... the other green thing, what's it called?
Zucchini.
Zucchini, excellent. Zucchini. I have a mental block about zucchini. I love zucchini, but I don't know, I never remember the word. And I go to buy, you know, vegetables sometimes for my wife, and I look for kishuim, I never look for zucchini. You know what I'm saying? I forget the word zucchini. So we have something called kishos. And the Gemara establishes, with regard to cutting kishos with a fleshiken knife, that since it's a dover masok, you can eat it with milchix, with kutach, but only under one condition. So take a look on the top of Kufyud Beis. The Gemara says, Aval kishos, you see it on the top of Kufyud Beis? The Gemara says, Garir lebei psake, or piske, v'achil. Achil means you can eat it with kutach. So here we need a grera. Somehow we have to look at the point of contact between this fleshka knife and the zucchini. Let's say a strip. Again, if he diced it, don't ask me questions. What?
It's a klipa.
Okay, we'll call it a kedei klipa. And you have to remove that through grera.
Yeah.
So now again, the Gemara has three categories, right? The Gemara has a category of a Dover Charif, and then there's no way they can eat it with Kutach. The Gemara has something which is a Dover Masog, and there's no even surface level of Bliot, so you don't even require Grera. We'll have to see what fits into that category. And in the middle, we have the case of Kishos, of Zucchini. So the Mordechai is going to say the following, that it all depends upon the knife. Does the knife give off its shamnunis of basar to this vegetable? It's not a davar charif, it's kishos, it's a yerek masok, if you take a look at Rashi, at the first line in Rashi on the daf. But nevertheless, there's somehow something about this kishos that absorbs the tam of shamnunis habasar, which is at the mokum chatach, which is at the place of contact where the knife sliced into this zucchini, and therefore you require grera. So let me just read to you a note here.
It's only with shamnunis, though.
Yeah, only with shamnunis, and that's where grera is meaningful. So he says the following. Harashba kosav kishos, from the din of kishos, muchach, we have to derive the conclusion, sha'isa shenesar bitznon, shechotcha besakin shel basar, hu machmas shamnunis hakrushal asakin. Kipirusha or Rishon Shel Rashi. Let me explain. Rashi, initially, when he speaks about snow that was cut with a fleshing knife, he blames it on the Shamnunis HaKrushal HaSakin. The Rashba says, from the fact that the Gemara institutes a requirement called Grera, it must be that the Gemara is operating with this first explanation of Rashi, namely that the problem is not in the Sakin, meaning internally in the sakin, but rather externally on the sakin, and otherwise, what is grera helpful? But he says, "Lepirusho asheni shel Rashi sha'iser bitznon umishum charifuso shel atznon." Why is it madua kishos teuna grera? Halo eina charifa klal. In other words, this concept of kishos of zucchini has no charifus whatsoever. Is therefore ketzad yidobek ba tam habasar habalua b'sakin. Again, if Rashi's going with his second explanation, namely that the issue of tznon is not the shamnunis of basar, but rather the tam balua of basar, which is taken out through the charifus, well, that's fine in the case of tznon. What impact does it have, or what application should it have in the case of kishos? Kishos is not a dover charif. And therefore, says the Rashba, if you're operating with Rashi's second interpretation, that we're talking about a Davar Charif, why do we require Gerera in the case of Kishos? So the Mordechai comes forward and he says the following, that Gam Kishos, Yesh Ba Charifus Ma'at. You know, the Mordechai is always going to fall back on, you know, I don't find that, this is not an intended pun, but you know, he's mamish cutting it with a sharp knife. You know, he's saying that there's so many different levels of Davar Charif. We have the real Spitz Davar Charif that's at stone. Now we have the zucchini that has some sort of Charifus to it, and therefore, Ein Atam Mispashet. Wait, one second, I lost it. Are we ready for Mincha now?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll just finish this last line here. He says, Machmas Charifus Ma'at, Nivla Botam Bosa Besakin, Ela Eina Tam Mispashet Besocha Kishos, Ela Al on its surface, and therefore you need Grera, Ela Bitznon. So in case of Tznon, which is Charif Gomur, that's my own phrase, then the Tam will Mispashet through and through, duch and duch, the tznon, and Grera is not going to help you, but in Kishos, where the whatchamacallit, the Charifus is only Ma'at, there the level of Blia is only going to be on the surface level, the Ein Atam Mispashet Besocha, and therefore it's sufficient that he does what? That he does Grera. Now, in the next part, which we don't have time for now, the Prima Gadim tries to reconcile this sugya of Kishos with Rashi's second interpretation without having to come on to the Mordechai that Kishos is a little bit of a charif. You know, it's a somewhat double charif because Rashi holds that Kishos is Mesuka. He is completely...
One clarification. Are we not talking about Ben Yom? It doesn't matter how long the knife has been, how long it's been since the knife?
And that's an excellent question, and the Rashba tries to deal with that. How long ago was the knife used?
What I always remembered is that a Dovar Chorich is male from a Engel Ben Yoma to a Ben Yoma.
Right.